You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Mike Haggerty, and today for Vicki Gonzalez. Despite a winter which exceeded all expectations, California remains the state with the most property at risk of damage due to wildfires. According to analytic firm CoreLogic, more than 1.2 million single-family homes across the state remain vulnerable, and roughly 11 million people reside in what's known as the Wildland Urban Interface, or WUI, where the threat is the greatest. Since 2017, 8 of the 10 largest wildfires in state history have ignited, scorching more than 11 million acres and destroying at least 50,000 structures. That's led to higher premiums, less coverage, or policyholders who live and work in the WUI losing coverage entirely. But a new study released this spring is suggesting that there's a path forward for homeowners and communities in wildfire-prone areas to safely build homes and to do so affordably. The study was funded by the Bay Area Council in partnership with the Town of Paradise, the epicenter of the 2018 Camp Fire, which destroyed more than 18,000 structures and claimed the lives of at least 85 people in Butte County. Joining us now to tell us more about the study and how it aims to help communities facing the greatest risk of wildfires is Colette Curtis, Recovery and Economic Development Director for the Town of Paradise, and Adrian Covert, Senior Vice President of Public Policy with the Bay Area Council. Colette and Adrian, welcome to Insight.
Thank you.
Good morning.
So,
thanks for having us.
We're happy you're here. Can you tell us, Adrian, more about what the Bay Area Council is and what you hope to accomplish by producing this study?
Sure, happy to. So the Bay Area Council is a business-backed public policy research and advocacy group located in San Francisco. And we traditionally focus on Bay Area-related public policy issues like housing and transportation and all that. But you know, really starting a few years ago, we started focusing much more on climate change and climate impacts, particularly following the wildfires in Sonoma County in 2017 in the area around where I live in Santa Rosa. And we realized that to increase the resilience of the Bay Area, you need to build resilience throughout the state. We're all connected. In the Bay Area, we were getting choked with smoke from fires burning hundreds of miles away. We import our water from many places hundreds of miles away. Every region in California is connected to other regions. And so we're really taking a statewide approach to this. So we funded this research through our statewide California Resilience Challenge initiative because we felt it was a really innovative way at examining the wildfire risks in the urban and wildland interface communities and trying to find ways to make sure that they can grow and prosper and become more safer, strengthen their resilience to wildfire in future years.
Can you tell me more about the California Resilience Challenge?
Yeah, happy to. It's a statewide philanthropic initiative funded by businesses and utilities to put out and invite under-resourced communities to apply for early stage climate adaptation planning grants. The thing is that virtually every community in California is facing some sort of climate risk, wildfire, heat, drought, flooding, but many of these communities don't have the resources to begin planning the types of changes needed to protect their homes, residents, and businesses. So we, with support from funders like JP Morgan Chase and PG&E and Edison and Valley Water and others, created this fund to help communities get there. And that's what we were happy to provide support to the Town of Paradise for.
Colette, how did Paradise become a participant in the study? And why did you and others in the community believe that it was important to take a central role in it?
Absolutely. Well, I think that the campfire, of course, the size and scope of that disaster really lends itself to study and looking to see how we can learn from something like this to help other communities. And, you know, recovery from something like this is really a series of obstacles and then successes. And then from those successes, you can learn and hopefully share that with others. And so the one of those obstacles or barriers that we're facing right now really has to do with insurance. And that's kind of a big portion of what this study talks about is how to build and exist in a more resilient way, not only to be safer, but to make sure that insurance is available for those in our community and other communities who also live in the wildland urban interface or WUI. And so that was kind of how this study came about and why this relationship began.
You've been in your current role as Recovery and Economic Development Director since July of 2021. What motivated you to take on the role, and how has it been challenging and rewarding?
Oh, goodness, it's so rewarding. And I've worked for the town of Paradise for 10 years. So I was here before the fire, during and after. And then, of course, after the fire, we realized we really needed to consolidate our recovery activities in a department. So we formed a department that that I oversee, that oversees recovery as well as economic development, because those two things are very tied together. And of course, this role is extremely challenging. Recovery, like I said, is a series of obstacles, but those obstacles become successes. And that's where that rewarding part comes. You know, there have been many obstacles since the fire. We continue to overcome them and learn from those. And it is our responsibility and our joy to be able to share what we have with other communities to help them prepare. Hopefully they will never experience something like we have, but if they do, we want to be there to help them prepare and also help them in the aftermath on how to recover.
The fifth anniversary of the campfire is this November. What can you share with our listeners about how your town is doing, and what would you like them to know about the community's ongoing recovery?
We are doing very well. So again, this was a very large disaster. We knew from the outset this was going to be a decades-long recovery, but we are recovering at a pace that is really encouraging to us and is outpacing what we expected. We did, of course, reach out to other communities that have experienced major disasters to understand what we might expect. And we are, again, very encouraged by the pace of rebuilding and restoring of our infrastructure that we have seen thus far. And that comes with many, many partners and support. Those other communities that experienced disaster have been instrumental, such as Santa Rosa, even Louisiana after Katrina. They have informed us in our recovery, as well as our federal and state recovery partners who have assisted us with the financial aspects of recovery. But at this point, we have restored about 25% of our housing that was lost during the fire. So we feel very good about that. We still have a long way to go. This is, again, a decades-long recovery, but we are very pleased at the recovery that we have had so far.
Circling back to the study, Adrian, what are the biggest headlines from the study, and why are they important?
Great question. So the main takeaway is that communities in the wildland-urban interface can be made much safer and more resilient than they are today, and those actions needed to strengthen the safety of these communities can be quantified by insurers in a way that leads to actually reduced insurance premiums, which is essential for the prolonged health and vitality of these communities. And at the top of the show, you mentioned, you know, one in four homes in California is in the urban wildland interface. It's becoming increasingly difficult for homeowners in those communities to keep and afford insurance. This is a big issue, not just for the town of Paradise, but for many millions of Californians. So this report specifically says that, quantifies how several specific actions communities can take, including programs to incentivize homeowners to defend their properties better with vegetation management, and wildfire-informed development patterns is what we're calling it, which is essentially involves incorporating external buffer areas and internal buffer areas, separating your community from high-risk wildfire zones. Essentially, this means well-maintained open spaces in between your community and a forested area or a wildland area. You want it well-maintained with few tree limbs low to the ground, not a lot of vegetation density, could be gravel, it could be grass, it could turn it into a park, but a well-maintained open space between the community and a wildfire at-risk area, and also utilizing open spaces that are already within the community. And then focusing your growth, or if a fire has already occurred, your reconstruction in low-risk areas, such as a downtown, more walkable communities, and some added gentle density, can go a long way. We estimate that in the town of Paradise alone, if all of these actions were implemented, they could reduce wildfire risk by 71%, which could translate to insurance premiums being cut by as much as 55%. That's just in the town of Paradise, but the implications are clear for those other 11 million residents and 1 million homes throughout the state.
Yeah, I think it's important to note that this is not a study that's an academic exercise done with data points. You're working in a community that's still recovering from trauma and devastation. How do you carry out the study effectively while also being sensitive and respectful to the people of Paradise who are rebuilding their lives and community?
That's a great question. Colette might want to weigh in on this as well, but I know the community, the folks who actually conducted the study at CoreLogic and Milliman worked hand in glove with the city, and they had some outreach there to speak with them on the ground. So Colette, do you want to weigh in on any of that, on the actual execution?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a really important question, because in recovery, of course, when it's something like a very large disaster, there is a lot of trauma involved. And you have to keep that in mind in everything that you're doing when you're working with residents and coming up with policy, because you have to balance doing everything you can to keep the community safe with, the perception of safety and dealing with the trauma that just is inherent in the residents there. So I will say that those that were carrying out the study did an excellent job with that and working with the town and with our residents. This is something that our residents are very, very supportive of. They are, coming up with looking for solutions for insurance. It is a major issue for those who are trying to rebuild and come back home. And so this is something that is badly needed. And I think it's also really important to note that this is not just an academic study. This is something that we are putting into practice every single day. So these concepts that are discussed in this study are things that, have kind of been in our minds for a long time. And this was such an excellent opportunity to put this down into a study with really great scientific backed data to show how these things can reduce risk. And we are putting them into effect as we speak. So the things that Adrian just talked about, we actually have required those now of our building standards. So some of that defensible space, having a non-combustible zone around your home, 5 feet from your home, that is a required part of rebuilding when you rebuild your home or build your home in the town of Paradise. So we are requiring those aspects, as well as working with our parks department on buffer zones as well. So we are implementing these and seeing a lot of excitement in the community around these efforts.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. We're speaking with Colette Curtis with the Town of Paradise and Adrian Covert from the Bay Area Council about a study they partnered on revealing how homeowners can reduce wildfire risk and insurance costs. Adrian, two of the biggest findings from the study were that homeowners and the communities can reduce their losses from a wildfire by up to 75% and cut their insurance costs by more than half. How were you and the organizations you partnered with for the study able to quantify those estimates?
Good question. CoreLogic and Milliman are two wild insurance actuaries that did the bulk of the analysis for this. They're able to take a look at science that's been done on wildfire risk and flammability, and put those things together in ways to come up with actual estimates that can influence the market. So I'm not an expert specifically in that part of the insurance estimation, but I was pleased to work with them over the past few months to get the analysis ready. But That's really a question for them.
You know, the study outlines some limitations, one of those being the specific notation that the conclusions are limited to the scope of work specified by the Town of Paradise. For people who are living in different communities, what should they keep in mind before they try to apply some of the findings of this study?
Well, I think the important thing here is that the analysis was conducted for the Town of Paradise, but the study's authors were very clear that the implications are easily transferable to other communities that are in similar situations as the Town of Paradise. So the specific numbers, you know, reducing risk to buildings and structures by 75% if all of these mitigation actions were taken, the translation of those into a 55% insurance premium reduction, that is for the Town of Paradise. But it gives you a window, a glimpse of the orders of magnitude of savings and impact that these actions could have in communities that are facing similar threats as the Town of Paradise.
Over the last decade, many Californians have seen their insurance coverage reduced, premiums increased, or policies canceled outright by their insurance companies due to the threat of wildfires. Have any notable insurance companies or industry groups responded to this study's findings?
Not that I'm aware of, but we are still in the early stages of getting this story out there. So being on this radio show this morning helps with that message. So thanks.
There has been some debate in light of the alarming increase of larger and more destructive wildfires over the last decade, with some people arguing that expanding communities or building new ones in areas where the risk of wildfire is highest should be slowed or halted entirely. You believe this study provides a blueprint for how communities can safely and affordably grow despite the threat. So what do you say to people who may not share your optimism?
You know, I just think that we can't afford to abandon communities that are in these communities that are at risk. There's too many of them in the state, and they're too important for the state's economic future. And the folks who have said that we can't build or we can't grow, we got to move people, they need to provide some data to back it up, because our numbers here that we've shown clearly demonstrate from the folks who would actually be on the hook for paying for reconstruction, the insurance companies, now have confidence that if certain measures are taken, you can make these communities much safer and much more insurable.
And, cool. And I'd like to add to that, if I may.
Sure.
I think that's a really great point that Adrian made, that the study really shows how you can build and live in these types of communities in a safer, more resilient way. But I think the larger question too is, I think it would be very difficult for us as a society to find a place to live that really has no hazards that could happen, whether it be hurricanes or floods or tornadoes. You know, there are hazards inherent in living in this state, in this country. And so I think that we, you know, what we have to do is do some of the analysis that has been done in the study for every type of hazard community to find how we can live in these areas in a more resilient way so that we can move forward.
And Colette, clearly your community has been the hardest hit. What's been the response from people in Paradise to the study?
You know, there's been a lot of excitement about this because, again, right now, insurance is a major barrier for people who are rebuilding, whether they have already rebuilt and are now finding their insurance, them being dropped from their insurance, or whether they are trying to rebuild and are unable to find insurance for an affordable price. And so something, you know, every step that we can take to try to get more insurability in our community is very supported by our residents.
Colette Curtis is Recovery and Economic Development Director for the Town of Paradise. Adrian Covert, Senior Vice President of Public Policy with the Bay Area Council. And we've been talking about their study revealing how communities facing the greatest risk of wildfires can reduce fire risk and insurance costs. Thank you both for talking with us this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Still ahead, North State Public Radio's Nancy Wigman shares her conversation with NPR's Steve Drummond about his new book, The Watchdog, a chronicle of Harry Truman's rise from obscure senator to the White House. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Mike Haggerty, and for Vicki Gonzalez, and we're back in just a moment.